Tucson, good morning to you, and happy Wednesday. It's a Wednesday that feels like a Tuesday. I'm going to be screwed up all week. Hope you had a great three-day weekend. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. This is Tipping Point on 1030 The Voice, daily in-depth news, talk, and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Looking forward to today's show. It's packed from top to bottom. I want to talk about the McSally and Kelly presumptive race. We've been talking about McSally and Kelly, although, you know, McSally has a primary, so we can't take anything for granted, but it looks like McSally will be the Republican challenger for the current seat that she's appointed to currently in the U.S. Senate. We're going to talk about that in the first segment. Anna Darian, from Arizona Forge will come on for a brief minute to update us on the accelerated entry program. We'll keep talking tech and talent, as we always do on the show. And then at 9:30, Senate candidate Mark Kelly will be on the air with me for the full half hour, the full back half hour of today's show, as the Democratic challenger for the for John McCain's Senate seat that, again, Martha McSally was appointed to and is now running for an elected term. So looking forward to that. It's going to be a full show. I hope you stay the entire way. Looking forward to hearing from Mark Kelly on this station and here in Southern Arizona. So as I was getting ready for that interview, of course, this Senate race is stacking up to be one of the most contentious again this year. The McSally Sinema race was very high dollar, very hotly contested, very nationally covered race, and many are saying that Mark Kelly is the Democrat Party's best Senate candidate in the entire country right now. And of course, this is a big deal because should there be a flip in who is in the White House, should Joe Biden prevail, it really doesn't matter to some extent if the Senate and the House don't shift, and for Democrats, especially the Senate. And so there's a lot of eyes on this race because it's one of a few around the country that are really consequential. And so I just wanted to share a few things that are on my mind about this race before we welcome Kelly on. And first of all, wanted to look at the polling. And the polling has stayed pretty much the same for the most part before and after COVID. But I mean, what's interesting about this is that Kelly far and away in most major polls is showing a 5 to 13 point spread, right? So Monmouth is 6 point spread. Predictive Insights is a 13 point spread. Univision is a 12 point spread between Kelly and McSally, with Kelly being up in some cases high double digits. What's interesting is when we look at kind of pre-COVID polling, as well as kind of mid-COVID polling, it doesn't really change too terribly much. It's been Kelly quite a bit, a lot of the way. Predictive Insights has Kelly up 13 points at a poll done May 9th through May 11th, which is the most recent there. And I know polling has taken a hit over the last few years, and you can't, it's hard to figure out where the polls are, but pre-COVID, I was looking at a Univision poll, and Kelly was up quite a bit and maintains that, which I think is interesting for one reason. I mentioned is that I thought at one point that McSally had kind of a Rose Garden benefit maybe going her way, in the sense that when you're going up up in a, against an incumbent during a time of high stress, high action. When you're in the seat, that can often give you an edge. We're not seeing that edge pay off. And by the way, I think that McSally has done a competent job as a senator, whether you agree with her or not, as a senator, in terms of legislating, in terms of talking with the public, in terms of being present across the state. You know, McSally has not gone MIA. McSally has been very active, very out there, and I think done a competent job in a role as senator. And we're not seeing that Rose Garden bump. So that's interesting. And a couple reasons, I think, play into that. Real quick here before we go to our break. Here's where my head has been, right? And I'm wearing a hat as if, you know, someone hired me to be a branding consultant, right? This is not politicized. This is not political. This is just kind of looking at the race objectively from the outside looking in. And I've said this many times before, but I just want to repeat it. I think what McSally, Senator McSally suffers from is a branding issue. And here's what I mean. When you think about candidate Mark Kelly, again, this is not whether you are an R or a D or you like him or not, but when you say the name Mark Kelly, things come to mind, right? Astronaut. And that's probably further down on the list, right? It's Gabby Gifford's husband. It is someone who has put himself out there as wanting to, as an astronaut, lean on science and data. You know that the Second Amendment is a big issue for him. You kind of know what Mark Kelly is about. Now, I will say, and this is my parentheses, my interview with him is going to be about stuff that we don't hear about. And I did that on purpose, right? We're not talking guns. You know, we're not going to talk that stuff. You can go out on YouTube and find all of that ad nauseum. I want to talk about his campaign platform items that we don't hear about. Jobs, border, environment. That's what you have to look forward to in just a few minutes. But you kind of, he has a brand. Right? Again, astronaut, data and science driven. We don't have that right now. I want to be that, you know, Second Amendment, so on and so forth. When you think of Senator McSally, I don't think the brand is as clear, right? And some will say, well, fighter pilot. Yeah, but how does that connect to what she does and what her messaging is, right? Again, this is not a political critique. This is not politicizing. This is an objective, you know, looking outside, you know, through the glass. I don't know what the connection is between her military background, and what she's done in the House and what she's done in the Senate. The brand, is not clear. And if you think about what has her legislation been shaped around, is there a direction of her legislation? It's still not clear. I think the brand has become Trump. And this was a strategic move in 2018 to become very aligned with President Trump. I don't think in the Arizona of today that that's going to work for her. And I'll tell you why in a minute. I think part of the problem is that our politics have become so nationalized, right? It's this big bet every time that more people like Mitch McConnell than like Schumer, or that more people like Chuck Schumer than Mitch McConnell. Our brand has become so R, so D, so McConnell, so Schumer, that everything local has been, you know, put against something national. You don't really see Mark Kelly doing that. And some could say, well, you don't really hear much from Mark Kelly anyways. And I don't disagree with that. I think one of the reasons I really wanted him on the show is because I think it's important to have these voices present, especially in southern Arizona, and I wanted to give that platform, and I'm very thankful that Mr. Kelly graciously, you know, decided to spend some time with us this morning. But I think this is a problem. When you think of Martha McSally, I don't know if you know what to think. And again, I think she's an able legislator. You may not agree with her, but I think she's an able legislator. On the campaign side, there's a disconnect. And the disconnect has been talked about in terms of, well, does McSally need to make up with the base of the Republican Party, or does she need to moderate? I'm on the side of moderating. I think in modern day Arizona, I think that McSally made a fatal decision to align as closely as she did with the president. Now, again, I'm not, this is not my opinion, or a political statement. What I'm saying is that I think Arizona is more purple than most people realize. I think it's why Sinema won. And Kelly is playing the Sinema strategy, in my mind, of posing as a moderate candidate. I'm not going to do the BS. I'm going to work with everyone. I'm going to be science and data driven. When you think of Mark Kelly, you think less of D versus R than you do Martha McSally, right? You dig in, of course, Mark Kelly is a D, a strong one. You know where he stands. But you, when you look at the two candidates side by side, one is very nationalized in party and one is not as much. And I think that matters. And there's a really interesting article earlier in the year in the Arizona Republic written by the former executive director of the Arizona Republican Party. And remember when the Republican Party, specifically President George Bush, won like mid-30s and then mid-40% of the Hispanic vote in Arizona? There was an election when President George Bush, and I think it was 2004, won 44%, something like that, of the Hispanic vote in Arizona. 16 years ago, right? I mean, this is like ancient history by now. But there was a time when the Republican Party had a had an almost 50-50 chance with Hispanic voters, and that's ancient history. I mean, that's just inconceivable at this point. This article is saying that everyone said, well, how is the Hispanic vote shifting now, right? Is the Hispanic vote gonna lean heavily Democrat? Is gonna act gonna flip the state? That's an element. This article brings up an interesting point. Governor Doug Ducey's done an effective job at diversifying Arizona's economy and bringing people here, right? He thanks California all the time. He thanks the coasts all the time for sending business and sending people to Arizona. What that has done over the last few years, and you can see it in elections in the past few years, it's turning Arizona purple. This is not Barry Goldwater's Arizona. And I don't think enough people are caught up, to be honest. Arizona is changing rapidly. It's changing in Tucson. By the way, I think Tucson's purple. People talk about Tucson as this dark blue bastion. No. Tucson's purple. It's conservative Democrat. Look at the data. Likewise, I think that Arizona as a whole is becoming purple. Mark Kelly is running a purple campaign. Martha McSally is not. And I think that trends point to this being in Kelly's favor. So I went a little on there, but those are some of my thoughts as I'm thinking about this interview with Mark Kelly. I think trends point to this being a wide margin of victory. I think just statistically, I think that the window for Martha McSally is closing in. By the way, again, let me repeat, that's not a political statement. I just am looking at the numbers. I think this is going to be a hard race to turn around at this point. And I think the big takeaway is Arizona is changing, and a lot of people aren't changing with it, and it's going to be a harsh reality. I think all this plays into my conversation in just a few minutes. We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, Anadarian will be on from Arizona Forge. We're going to talk about the S20 Accelerated Entry Program for Tucson's entrepreneurs. Applications close this Friday. We're going to talk tech and talent, and then Mark Kelly will be on at the bottom of the hour. Don't go away, Tucson.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030, The Voice.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Friday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Vantage West Credit Union proudly stands with the communities we serve during these unprecedented and trying times. It's in these moments where strong communities thrive by working together. We are proud to live in a place where we help each other, even in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances. We will emerge more connected and more prosperous than ever before. Vantage West has been here since 1955. We're here now, and we will get through this together. Vantage West Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Here at 1030 The Voice, we care about Tucson. Here are some things we can do together to keep our community safe. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Avoid touching our faces outside of the home. When in public, please maintain a safe distance of 6 feet. Stay home if you're sick. Cover your mouth when you cough and avoid unnecessary trips into the public. We're in this together. Help us keep Tucson safe. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Tucson, welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. In just a few minutes, Senate candidate Mark Kelly will be my guest through the back half of the hour through to 10 o'clock. Stay tuned for that. But right now I have on the air Anna Darian with Arizona Forge to talk about the accelerated entry program to get tech and startups and entrepreneurs off the ground here in Tucson. Anna, welcome on the air and thanks for spending some time with us. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. And what an honor to be between your amazing words and really thoughtful things that I was listening to and then Mark Kelly. So I will definitely not keep you from this interview. But yeah, I'm really grateful that you had me on to give one last little shout out and a promotion for the Accelerated Entry Program, which, as you mentioned, does close this Friday. So I'm happy to talk about who this is for and what this entails if you are a budding startup interested in scaling.
Yes, please. Let's get into it. The S20 Accelerated Entry Program. What's the goal and what does that look like? Who's it for?
Sure. Yeah. So Arizona Forge, I've been on before, but it's a lot of different things. But as it relates to the Tucson entrepreneur community, we are talking about a live in-person business incubator that will be operating out of the Roy Place building in downtown Tucson. And the way for startups to actually be able to work out of there and get that really one-on-one intensive support to build your business is through what we're calling this accelerated entry program, which is effectively, it's 8 weeks of rigorous business development programming, taking teams that have at least identified their core idea, they're willing to make an investment in time, money, resources, into actually building this into a business. So taking them from what we're calling post-idea stage through 8 weeks of programming focused on everything from customer interviews, building out your business model, and actually even practicing running a mock board meeting with actual investors, actual experts in the industry. And so applications are open right now. They are closing this Friday, May 29th, and the goal is to run this program June 20th through August 8th. The intention right now is for this to be in person. Obviously, these are not normal times, so we are prepared to think about different virtual options, maybe moving the dates to make this a safe experience for everybody. But the program is very much focused on a lot of in-person collaboration, supporting each other. The program is 100% free. The only payment we ask of teams is that you show up, you do the work, and you support other teams as though it was your own venture. It's a highly collaborative environment. And anybody who's interested, they can go to forge.arizona.edu/apply, and you'll see all the criteria of what we're looking for. I will definitely say that there's a strong consideration for any ventures that are working towards solving problems related to COVID-19, certainly digital health, telemedicine-focused ventures, but also things like resilience, environmental, psychological. There's not a single part of our lives that hasn't been affected by this pandemic. And so teams who are maybe building their business and thinking about different ways that this could be pivoted to solve some of our biggest challenges right now, just a little shout out there. We're definitely, we want to hear from you. Even if it's an early idea, we still want to hear from you, and we can help you get where you need to go with that.
Now, this program is out of Arizona Forge, but am I correct in saying, and looking at the selection criteria, is you don't have to be necessarily affiliated with the university or be a student or be, a tech ID out of the university. This is for community members, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. So this is the second time we've run this program, and the two teams that came out of our first round of programming that are working out of Forge now, which is ELE Optics and Stackhouse, neither of them have any association. They've not attended the university. They're not in any way associated with TechLaunch Arizona or McGuire. I will say that, you know, as a University of Arizona venture, which we are, obviously our primary goal is to commercialize research and innovation coming out of the university, and that is very core to our mission. So I don't want to minimize that part of it. Absolutely, if you are faculty working on some projects, we want to hear from you as well. But yes, it's absolutely open to the community, and like I said, it's free for everybody. The main requirement is that you've really done some work, ideally through something like Startup Tucson. They have a whole roadmap of amazing programs that help you really flush out your idea and make sure that there's a market for what you're doing, because we don't want you spending time and money on something if you haven't validated that somebody's willing to give you money for what you're doing.
Right.
Just kind of core to business.
Right. And I think what's exciting, too, is, and I know we're talking about Friday specifically, right? This is the entry point. Apply. If you're a startup in Tucson, apply for this. Anna will give you the website here in just a minute. But looking ahead, if you get accepted into this accelerated entry program and you really succeed in it, you may be invited to the Forge Incubator, which provides a rigorous business development program valued at over $50,000 a year, rent-free use of the brand new Forge at Roy Place. I mean, this could really be a stepping stone towards getting your big idea off the ground in Tucson. So I just wanted to plug that. Anna, we've got less than a minute, and so where it always goes fast with you. I don't know how that works, but where can people go to apply for this and let you know that they're interested?
Sure. It's forge.arizona.edu/apply. My name's Anna Darian. My email is listed all over the website. If you have any questions, I'm here to answer those. And even if you're earlier than what I've talked about, I still want to hear from you because we want to be able to help you launch your venture.
I love it. We'll be talking to you and Brian more in depth next week. We just wanted to have you on real quick to say, look, we're serious about growing tech and talent here in Tucson. This is a great way to do it. Deadline is Friday. This is a PSA for Tucson's future. Go be a part of it. That's what we wanted to do today. So, Anna, thank you so much for popping on. And we'll work hard to surprise you next time as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Take care. Have a great one.
You too.
Tucson, we're going to go to our bottom of the hour news break. When we come back, U.S. Senate candidate Mark Kelly will be our guest for the remainder of the hour, talking about his campaign and this race, which is shaping up to be one of the most contested and nationally talked about races in the entire country this fall. We'll be right back. Don't go away, Tucson. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
This is a Bloomberg Money Minute. U.S. stocks are mixed amid rising tensions with China. Tech stocks are falling. The Dow is up 256 points, S&P up 7, but the tech-heavy NASDAQ is down 83 points. There is some good news in the housing market. Applications for new home loans rose last week to the highest level since January. It was up nearly 9% despite surging unemployment. Walmart is teaming up with the online used clothing site ThredUp to offer nearly 750,000 items of used women and children's clothing and accessories on its website. If you ever thought about buying a Tesla, this could be the time. After sales took a huge hit in April, falling by two-thirds, Tesla is now lowering the price of its Model S sedan and the Model X SUV. Donna Wilson, Bloomberg Radio.
CBS News update. Things will be different, but Walt Disney World in Florida plans to start reopening its parks on July 11th.
We will be also managing our overall attendance demand through a new theme park reservation system. It will require our guests to obtain a reservation for park entry in advance.
Disney's Jim McPhee. Karen McAvoy's four stores on New York's Long Island reopened today. It's curbside pickup for the foreseeable future. She wishes it were more.
We want to be open for business. We're willing to be open safely and follow all the safety guidelines. We are set up for that.
In northern Colorado, small town pastor Mark Hotaling is suing the state's governor over church restrictions in the pandemic.
It is a religious liberties issue. You can go to Lowe's or Home Depot, and it's time for the church to have the same freedom that a big box store has.
CBS News update. I'm Steve Kathan.
WhyLoveWhereILive.com. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many local businesses right now, their physical location at the MSA Annex is dealing with changes to hours and operation, but I'm so proud of how they've pivoted to online sales and a virtual website tour of their brand new space so you can see what they're up to. Go to WhyLoveWhereILive.com right now and buy local to invest in the people that keep our economy going.
Over the last couple of weeks, there have been a variety of both state and federal emergency funds set up to help individuals and businesses survive COVID-19. To make sure you have the best opportunity to access these resources and apply for business loans and more, you're encouraged to get your taxes in and to do it with the help of a tax professional. Give Shanae and her team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes a call at 520-838-0856 to get started. Tell her you heard it on Tipping Point for 50% off.
Would you like a hand in shaping the future of transportation in Tucson? Well, the city's developing a plan called Move Tucson to identify and prioritize transportation projects over the next 20 years, and we want to hear from you. Head to movetucson.org to share your vision for how to improve Tucson transportation, no matter how you get around. How do you want Tucson to grow? Go to movetucson.org and let us know. Again, that's movetucson.org.
Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to decibelcoffeeworks.com for more info. Good morning, Tucson. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studios. I'm your host, Zach Yenser of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, talk, and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. drive time right here. Happy Wednesday to you. Looking forward to our conversation the rest of the hour. Really grateful to have been able to work with Mark Kelly's team to carve out a few minutes to chat on air here in Southern Arizona about his campaign, the issues that are important to him, and the road ahead. And that's the balance of our hour. Mark Kelly, former NASA astronaut, 25 years in the Navy, entrepreneur, and also well known as the husband of Gabby Giffords, who represented Arizona's 8th congressional district, is on the air with us. Mark Kelly, thank you so much for your time, and hope you're doing well. How are you, sir?
I am good, Zach. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. So this has become the first question I ask all candidates running for office, and you might chuckle because it is the name of the show. But what was your tipping point moment when you woke up one morning and said, you know what, this is the race, I'm the guy, I got to jump in? What snapped for you, so to speak, in terms of jumping into this race?
Well, Zach, there was a tipping point, but let me first say that I've been a public servant most of my life. I was even driving an ambulance I was an EMT when I was 16. I was driving an ambulance by the time I was 17. I went into the Navy after college, I flew airplanes in combat. I was a test pilot. I was an astronaut for 15 years. So I've been a public servant for a large segment of my life. But the tipping point part of this was there was an event. It was the night before the election in 2018. And Gabby and I were down at the Van Buren. It's a music venue in Phoenix. And we were watching the Gin Blossoms. And a young woman came up to me. She didn't seem much older than my eldest daughter, Claudia, who's 25. She might have been a few years older. And she leaned over to me and she said, "Hey, my son has Down syndrome, and I am terrified that he's going to lose his health insurance. Would you please consider running for the U.S. Senate?" And that's a quote. And so I told her I would. So if there was any one point in there, and that's the point when I started seriously looking at this.
Right. I'm sorry, go ahead. So that was going to be my second question, was some of the experiences that that you pulled in. You mentioned healthcare, but economy and jobs, border security and immigration, climate change and the environment. These are items that you've listed that are important to you, and we'll get into those a little bit more in detail in the second part of our conversation. But what do you see for Southern Arizona's future, for Arizona's future? You're running for John McCain's seat against what many presume to be will be Martha McSally, also an aerospace pioneer. But why are these issues important to you, and what are some of your goals should you win the seat in the fall?
Well, so Arizona has a history of folks serving in Washington, D.C., with a sense of independence about them. That's something that's very true to the West, and we've seen that in Senators John McCain and Barry Goldwater, and my wife, Gabby Gifford, somebody who would work across the aisle who wasn't a partisan, and I think that's important to have that in Washington, and we need more of that. I think it's also important to have folks that are going to bring, you know, science and data and facts to making some of these hard decisions. You talk about the economy and jobs and border security and immigration and climate change. And often I feel that the folks that represent us in Washington, D.C. are not doing a very good job focusing on the data and the information that helps them make hard decisions. Instead, they often are responding to big corporations, you know, on healthcare as an example. You know, why is it that seniors have to pay more for their prescription medication than somebody who's younger and might get the same prescription through the VA? And it's because Congress, many members of Congress, are often beholden to big pharmaceutical companies and won't allow Congress to negotiate the price of prescription drugs under Medicare. And it hurts seniors here in our state. So it's this you know, sense of independence that I feel is really important, independence from political parties and big corporations, and also bringing, you know, some, you know, science and data and, you know, paying attention to reality to Washington, D.C., I think is a very important thing for the future of our state and the future of our country.
We're speaking with Mark Kelly now, and for the balance of the hour, Mark, and maybe it hasn't, I'd love to get your thoughts on this before we drill down into a couple of things. But I would imagine that what was in your head when you sat down, put your platform together, put some of your policy proposals together, I would imagine COVID-19 changed the trajectory of at least some of those things. How has COVID-19 and where the country will be should you win the seat in the fall, how has that shifted how you're thinking about your message, your role, and what you would hope to do in a national leadership role?
Well, this pandemic is it's obviously a healthcare crisis, and it's an economic crisis at the same time, and we've got serious issues. We've got to solve the healthcare part of this. We have to get to the point where we have a vaccine and better treatments. We need to improve testing so we can figure out who's been infected and then trace their contacts so we can reduce the spread of this virus. Those things, I think, they're obviously critical now, and they're going to be critical past November as well. And then we've got to repair the economy. I mean, there are so many individuals through no fault of their own are now suddenly unemployed. And we have to support them and get them through this. At the same time, we've got to make sure that small businesses, we have 550,000 small businesses here in the state. And I think something like 40% of all employees work at a small business. So we have to make sure that we have the backs of small businesses so they're going to be there when we get out of the other end of this thing, so individuals have jobs to go back to. So I think a lot of the work in Washington, D.C. is going to be, at least in the initially, is going to be about getting through this healthcare crisis and then the economic crisis as well.
Since we're on this note, I did want to talk about one of your campaign platform planks, and that is strengthening the economy and jobs. What is your kind of broad plan for doing that? And if someone is looking at you, looking at Martha McSally, what would you say? Again, we're being a little presumptive here because there is a Republican primary, but what we assume to be true, if someone is looking at the choices going into the fall, where would you say you differ? What is your distinguishing point around economy and jobs in the Senate seat? How would you create more for Arizona and around the country?
Well, I see an economy that's going to work for everybody, not just the small percentage at the top. And we need to focus on creating high-paying jobs and then training Arizonans to fill those jobs. One of the places you start with is that's with education. And here in our state, we often, when you look at lists of how we perform or per pupil spending in the state of Arizona, we often fall very close to the bottom. We should not be at the bottom. Education is our future. So we have to modernize our education system. We have to focus more on math and science and the skills that people need to get good paying jobs. And then we have to invest in workforce development. Those additional skills and apprenticeships that are so important to allow people to have the skills and the training to go into, industries that need to grow here in the state. You know, one of those is energy. You know, solar is something that my wife, Gabby Giffords, focused significantly on. And as we tackle this issue of climate change, at the same time, we can provide good, high-paying jobs to folks that have the education and the skills and the training. So these aspects work together. And you talk about Southern Arizona. The governor has often focused on Southern Arizona. And when he first ran for office and his first term in office, you'll hear him mention this, that the success of our state, we also have to make sure the southern part of our state does well. And that means more industry here, more jobs, and high-tech, good-paying jobs in southern Arizona is incredibly important.
As we close on this topic, and I want to start our next segment, Mark Kelly, talking about border security and immigration, speaking of the southern part of our state here. But you're an entrepreneur. You have been in space. You're a former NASA astronaut. You have spent 25 years serving our country in our armed forces. Southern Arizona especially, seems to have a lot of potential around space tech. We're really grounded around kind of our military sector here. Is there anything that, we could be, are those areas we could be growing more intentionally? Those are maybe things that are of our potential here in Southern Arizona that we're not focusing on enough?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we've got a great university that produced, world-class scientists and engineers. And we do have we've got Raytheon, which is an incredible company, one of the largest employers, the largest employer in Southern Arizona. And we need to build on that. I was part of a group that founded a company here called Worldview, south of the airport in Tucson. And it's a company that's created high-paying jobs, and it's generated millions of dollars of economic impact. We need more of that. And the space tech area is something I'm rather familiar with from 15 years at NASA, but the great thing about this part and this sector of our economy is that the jobs pay really well. Now, it does require education and training, and in a lot of cases, it's engineers, but there's also, you know, technical skills and, you know, folks that are, you know, doing hands-on vocational aspects of the work there. Those are high-paying jobs as well, and it's important to bring that to the state, but also especially to Southern Arizona.
We are on the air for about a 25-minute conversation with Mark Kelly, a Senate candidate here working to fill John McCain's seat here in Arizona. We're going to go to our first break. When we come back, we'll stick with the southern part of the state. We'll talk border security and immigration, as well as some environment issues and other things here for our first conversation with Mark Kelly. We'll keep diving into some of the issues here. First time on this show speaking to Southern Arizona. We'll be right back, Tucson, here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Your source for trusted local news and talk, 1030 The Voice.
Vantage West Credit Union proudly stands with the communities we serve during these unprecedented and trying times. It's in these moments where strong communities thrive by working together. We are proud to live in a place where we help each other, even in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances. We will emerge more connected and more prosperous than ever before. Vantage West has been here since 1955. We're here now, and we will get through this together. Vantage West Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Friday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. Tucson, welcome back. We are on for the next few minutes with Mark Kelly, U.S. Senate candidate here in Arizona, who many expect to face Martha McSally in the general election. Two aerospace pioneers and one of the most hotly contested, we expect, Senate races in the entire country. Mark, I want to touch on border security and immigration real quick, but we did have a listener comment, and it's a good one during the break, and that would be, you talked about supporting small businesses. What are your thoughts on how the CARES Act was rolled out and how the money got to small businesses? If anything, what would you have done differently? What went wrong there?
Well, I think Congress did mess this part of it up. I mean, it was well-intentioned, and we do need to support small businesses, but the small business owners that I've spoken to across Arizona, they face some significant delays in getting that relief money. In some cases, they have not been approved for it. And the sad part about this is the language in the law allowed big companies and even some pro sports teams to get these relief funds that were clearly intended for small businesses and small businesses here in our state. And that's not right. And we need to have the backs of these small business owners, and this needs to be fixed.
Mark Kelly, one of the big issues that is, you know, front and center here in Arizona, of course, is border security and immigration. What would you do as a U.S. senator to strengthen security and make immigration a more streamlined process? What are some of your basic thoughts on what's going wrong there and how you might fix it?
Well, a lot's going wrong. I was just down on the border right before this coronavirus hit earlier in the year. And Gabby and I, you know, we rode the border on the on horseback and looked at the wall that's going up just east of Douglas, and talked to ranchers on the border about the immigration issue that they're dealing with. It's pretty clear that Washington has failed Arizona on this issue. We have spent hundreds of billions of dollars over a couple decades, and we haven't gotten much for it. We need an immigration. Well, first of all, we need border security. If you were to ask NASA, the agency that I used to work for, I spent 15 years at, how you would do border security here in the southern part of our state, you would not come up with a 17th century solution for a 21st century problem. You would use technology and use different things in different places, and it would be a lot less expensive. But we also need an immigration system that's going to reflect our values and a system that will strengthen our economy. So where the solution does start with strong border security, you know, we really have to respect our values as a nation, and we can't be taking kids away from their parents. We also need more immigration judges at the border so they can, you know, assess these claims more quickly. You know, we are, our Latino population here is about 30%, and you know, many individuals here in our state were brought here as children. So we also need to, you know, address this issue of dreamers and what their status is going to be and how they're going to, you know, continue to, you know, live in the country, and, you know, what their future is. You know, how are they going to get an education, jobs? That's stuff that Congress currently isn't doing. And they often just, it winds up being more of a political fight than solutions to problems here in our state.
We're talking with Mark Kelly, U.S. Senate candidate. Mark, I wanted to shift back to worldview real quick here before our interview is done. You've been very outspoken lately, and I know we'll continue to be, on the myriad of threats that China poses to the United States. But there's also been some themes also written that speak to some investment from a large Chinese company in worldview. I think we can all expect China's going to be a huge topic in the general election. Do you expect this to be a challenge? And what would you say to your ability to speak to China while also investment in worldview from a large Chinese company? Do you expect that to be a challenge for you, or what would you say to that?
Well, you know, first of all, I served in the Western Pacific. I lived in Japan for 2.5 years. I was stationed aboard the USS Midway. We spent a lot of time in the South China Sea dealing directly with the Chinese Navy, mostly. Sometimes the Russian Navy and Russian Air Force, but a lot with the Chinese Navy. And we clearly know that we cannot trust China. I've known that, you know, my entire adult life, certainly during my 25 years of service in the Navy. The same is true for when I was at NASA. Before my third space flight, they shot down one of their own satellites, caused a significant increase in space junk in low Earth orbit, the orbit we were in, by the way. This is their military doing it. You know, what really frustrates me is, despite all that, you know, as early as January, as we've been dealing with the coronavirus, the president's intelligence briefings repeatedly warned that China was suppressing information about this virus. But still, the president, you know, said China's being transparent. China is never going to be transparent with us. On the, you know, other part of that, you know, question, you know, a number of groups that invest in promising technology companies also invested in this company. And, you know, they often make investments in companies like Tesla and Uber, Spotify, Snapchat. And starting a small business, it's a challenge. But it's my experience as a NASA astronaut, as somebody who was a test pilot. I did acquisition. I worked in flight safety as a combat pilot, allowed us to, you know, found this aerospace company in Arizona. And that's a good thing for Southern Arizona. It generates millions of dollars of economic impact and creates a lot of high paying jobs.
Mark Kelly, that about brings us to time. Thank you so much for carving out a few minutes for us this morning. U.S. Senate candidate running as a Democrat here in Arizona, expected to face Martha McSally in the general election. Hotly contested Senate race is expected. Really grateful for your time. If anyone listening wants to find out more about your platform, wants to participate in terms of volunteering or donating, where can people go to find out more about your campaign, Mark Kelly?
You can just go to www.markkelly.com.
Mark Kelly, thank you so much for your time, and stay healthy out there, and be well, and we're looking forward to seeing you in Southern Arizona soon.
Zach, it was great talking to you today, and I would be really, if I could just take another minute to put in a plug for NASA. We're getting ready here tomorrow, or actually today, maybe tomorrow, depends on the weather. American astronauts launching from American soil again, hopefully today. It's a big deal, using U.S. rockets built here in the United States. So I'm very excited to see that, and I hope your listeners will take the time to tune in this afternoon.
Mark Kelly, thank you for plugging that. I was hoping we'd get to it. We ran out of time, so thank you for fitting that in. It's great how that worked out. That is today. Mark Kelly, we'll talk soon. Be well, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Zach. Bye.
Tucson, we'll be back Thursday, same time, same place. Hugh Hewitt coming up, Bill Buckmaster at noon. Take care.
Hi, this is Jim Click. Tucson's been hit hard by this pandemic. To keep Pima County safe, you need to keep your home. Governor Ducey knows this and issued an order to help. If you've lost income because of COVID-19 or quarantine, have a school-aged child at home, or a health condition that increases your risk of illness, you can notify your landlord in writing and delay an eviction. You will still owe back rent. Talk about a payment plan with your landlord today. Without housing, we lose jobs, our children suffer, and we increase the spread of the virus. So communicate with your landlord now. You can download a letter for your landlord now at jp.pima.gov. If you're a landlord, go to azmultihousing.org to find more information. Let's keep Tucson families safe, strong, and housed.
Tune in to Your Tucson as we highlight local businesses and all the good they are doing for our community. On behalf of Bustos Media, God bless America, and God bless the families who have lost a loved one to the coronavirus. We send our heartfelt prayers to those also recovering from it. Together, we will get through this pandemic. Your Tucson, Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on KVOI 1030 The Voice.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, The Voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.